WA Mobile.
KM4VWA, W4DJW. Going to lunch at 9:30.
Hear me telling Patrick my economics of this lunch today, did you?
No, I must have totally missed that. But I did catch you talking about going to lunch at 9:30.
My wife walked out of the house without her lunch. And she called and says, I forgot my lunch. Would you bring it down to me? I said, honey, it'll cost me 2 gallons of gas to go down there and back. That's a little over $6. A little over $6. You could go out and buy yourself some lunch somewhere. But I'm on a diet, and I'm eating that special stuff. Okay. So, I drive all the way down to Spartanburg and back, spending $6 to take her $4 worth of stuff that she eats for lunch that she could get at the food line about a quarter of a mile away. So that, well, you see the gist of it.
Yeah, the quality time, that's worth $4,000, right? So you made $3,996 in quality time with your significant other. Yeah, I see that. The math makes perfect sense to me. Mine left yesterday and left her badge and her key to get into her office door sitting on the countertop in the kitchen, on the island in the middle of the kitchen. And she blew my phone up until I figured out what was going on. But she got a temporary badge, so I didn't have to make the trip to Spartanburg.
There's that. So, anyhow, yeah, well, you know what? I'm also doing a whole bunch for the kids, and she's been appreciating me for that, so I guess I'm scoring some brownie points for the next time I deserve a new knot on my head. I'll cash them in.
Now you're thinking the right way about it. Anyway, no flying today, huh? Did you know it was going to rain today?
Oh, yeah. I kind of had an idea, but I was, I'm the ever optimist. So, anyhow, I don't think we're going to get to fly until probably Saturday afternoon.
Well, that's just as well, because this new full-time job I've got has taken all of my time. But I'm having a blast. I'm having fun. It's a nice change of pace. It's good to break away from airplanes that drive. I mean, I was working on it all day, every day for a few months there. So it's good to break away, take a little bit of a breather from it while I wait for some balsa wood to come in.
There you go. And see, you can do the other on the computer monitor while you do the wing. So you can multitask when that comes in. And yes, a variety definitely keeps you from burning out on one or the other.
Yeah, I built that profile for the rib for the wing like 6 times. Started off with splines, got it all built, for the arc on the top, and the bottom's flat, so it's very simple. Scanned in a piece of template from where the guy punched out the ribs, scanned that in, digitized it, built a spline on the digitized points, didn't like it. So built the parallel bars, the right width and length, the separation for the spars based on those points for the profile, and then at the top of each spar on each corner I put in 1,000 millimeter radius arc, and then where they intersected at the bottom I put another 1,000 millimeter radius arc that would show the blend between the two points and how it blended with the next spar, and I might go up to 1,250, and then I might come down to 800 until I got that blend across all those perfect with just a single arc between ribs, between spars. And now it looks perfect. But it took me 2 days to do all that, just for that one profile. But anyway, it was worth it.
In lies the cost of building kits. It's not the cost of the kit, which is minimal. It's the cost of the front end design getting it just the way you want it.
That's true, but once you do it once, then, you know, once you do one of them, you can reuse that over and over and over again, thousands of times. And each time, you know, you increase your economy of scale, which is a good thing, right?
That's what I was talking about. The actual cost of the kit at kit number 1,000 is 1/100th of the cost of the original first kit. So, anyhow, in the meantime, you need to come up for air today and not just be glued to that monitor the whole day now, or you're going to burn out on it too.
Well, the opening today went fantastic because of what the Fed did yesterday. So, with tapering. So the Fed did the right thing and the market loves it. So today is an extremely good day in the market. I'm loving it. So yeah, Maggie and I will take some long walks out up and down the driveway and we'll pick up acorns and clean up sticks and get up leaves in between rain showers. So I spend a lot more time with my dog than I ever did. And it's great because she's getting kind of old. She's 13 years old. So you know what's right around the corner. It's time to spend some time with her.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Painfully, I know what you mean. I don't know if you remember or not, but I had to have my whippet put down back in the spring. I miss him. He was my buddy.
I know it's going to happen. It's going to be tough. 13 years ago when we got her, I was studying CW. And for Christmas, my wife bought me a Bengali paddle. I don't know if you know what a Bengali is, but anyways, they're made in Italy, and they're hard to get a hold of. I mean, they're expensive, but more than that is they're hard to find to buy them. And there's not like you can just go out and buy them. But anyway, I was studying, and I was using a straight key, one that my dad made. He put it on a piece of wood, and I was looking at the paddles because Jim Milton, who's no longer, he's still a ham, but he never gets on here, KF4MSA as it's called. He lives like less than a mile from me. But, he talks about getting on ham radio, but he doesn't. But anyway, I was studying, and I was like 18 words a minute on a bad day and 24 on a good day. And he dropped his key off over here, and boy, that paddle was nice. So I started looking at paddles after that, after he left his paddle here for a few days. He spoiled me, so I never went back to a straight key after that. And I was studying it, and my wife went out and found the Bengali down in Brazil, and she ordered it and had it here by Christmas. So I still have that, and I still use it. I still study it, but Maggie was brand new at that time. She was less than the length of my hand was how long she was, and she was sitting beside me on my tabletop while I was practicing Morse code, putting her paw on top of my hand while I was practicing. I still have a picture of that. She's a tiny, tiny thing. The whole dog fit in the palm of your hand. She's called a party Yorkie. It's kind of like a mix between a Yorkie and a Maltese. She doesn't have the Yorkie ears that stand up. She has the ears that come down, and her face is all white instead of black and tan like a Yorkie. But other than that, I mean, she's got really soft hair, not wiry hair. Other than that, she looks a lot like a Yorkie.
Okay. Now, by the way, conversing about CW, back in the late 60s, my dad saw that I had an interest in ham radio, and I never got my license for the simple reason that I couldn't get past the code. Well, the long and the short of it, Dad comes walking in there with a radio from a P-51 Mustang from a friend of his. And I would sit for hours listening to that thing, trying to pick up all kinds of stations all around the world. Had a big, long antenna stretched down the length of the house. And I would listen. But in the process, he also found a Morse code key, a telegrapher's key from the 1870s. And I've still got that old telegrapher's key from the 1870s. Has the screw downs for the wires to attach on the end of it. And it's all adjustable and all that business. And, I think it was actually used in a Western Union telegraphy office. So that's one of my little antiques that I keep around and I still can't use.
W4DJW, that's pretty cool. That is cool. My dad bought me a kit radio. He didn't buy me an old radio. He bought me a kit that I had to put together when I was like, I don't know, 10, 11, 12 years old. And I had to, I had to take it apart three times before I got it to work. I mean, unsoldering the resistors, the capacitors, getting the board clean again and starting over from scratch. Because it just wouldn't work, and I didn't know what was wrong. So I took it all apart, made a kit out of it again, and built it. Made a kit out of it again, and built it. So I finally got the third time's a charm. It was working, and had the wire, like you're saying, the long wire antenna. And then at nighttime, after I'd listen, and I'd tune around the band at night after he got home from work, we'd sit down at the dining room table, and he had a piece of wood that looked like a paddle. It had a handle on it, but it had a straight key screwed down to the thick part of the paddle, and you'd rest your arm, and he taught me how you send code with your, when you're sending with a straight key, you send code with your wrist, not your fingers. Your fingers stay still on the key, and your wrist goes up and down, and so he would send to me, and I'd copy it, and then he'd push it across the table to me, and I'd send to him, and he'd copy it, and then I'd push it back over to him, and he'd send back to me, and you know, we went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth like that. Those were good times. That's how I learned. That's my original learning on CW. But then I went so many years without using it that I lost it. W4DJW.
But you just cannot replace memories like that. You'll take that to your grave with you. Yeah, I've got memories like that with my dad. My dad would come in traveling out on the road trying to do the work he did, and he'd come in the evenings, and every evening when he would come in, he'd say, "Where's the boys?" And we'd be over in the living room or in the family room, and he'd come over there, grab us up, tickle us, wrestle with us for about 10 or 15 minutes, and just, you know, that was his time with us before supper.
Good times, good memories. Like you said, take them to your grave. I'd go out there every now and then when I did become a ham, and I'd listen for him on the low bands to see if I could find his call. Never did stumble across it, but I'd go out there and listen just to see if he was at home on the radio or not. But it would have been pretty cool to stumble across him and send CW back to him, right, and him figure out who that is on the other end.
Oh, hey, let me tell you what we did to my dad one night. My mom says, "Listen, every night when he comes in, he grabs you boys and wrestles with you. Why don't you two get ready for him? And I'll tell you when he's coming in." And Scott and I, he came in the door, he came into the family room, and there was a fan over the middle of the room. Big old Hunter, an old U.S.-made Hunter fan. And this was in the summertime, and we grabbed him. Scott hit him low, I hit him high. Down he went right in the middle of the floor, and we started tickling him. And he got so tickled, he couldn't do anything to defend himself. And the next thing he knew, his pants were going around and around from one of the fan blades. Oh, that was a great memory.
Sounds like fun. I miss him, you know. I know that my dad's dad wasn't that way. He was a railroad engineer. He started out building railroad engines and ended up being an engineer with one of those really big, massive, heavy steam engines on the front. And I don't think he ever had any time for him whatsoever, for him or his brother, my uncle. But he made up for the difference.
Well, my dad's dad was a good man, but it was a real shame because my real grandmother died in childbirth, giving birth to my uncle, which was about 6 years younger than my brother, than my dad, and he had six kids. So, being a coal miner, he was the guy that installed the first DC drive conveyor systems in the coal mines in a place called Crummies, Kentucky, right around 1910. And because of the death of his wife, he remarried quickly to a woman that also had six kids. And the stepmother made it so bad and so difficult and so hard on his children that my dad ran away from home at 16 and joined the Army and was in Korea when he turned 17. And it was not the best childhood, but we would go back and see his dad as long as that he called her that woman wasn't around. So, despite all that, he still gave us a great upbringing. He was always there for the games and all the stuff. He was just good.
Well, I didn't know your dad was in the Korean War. That's where my dad was. That's where he went. He was a radio man in one of those LT-11 bird dogs. Their Super Cub is what it was. It was a military, it's an Army version of the Super Cub. And he had a 300-foot wire antenna he'd let out the back of the Super Cub. It was olive drab. It wasn't like a Cub Yellow Cub. But he let it out the back of the, and he'd send CW. And he taught other people how to do CW. And when he would send it, he'd put you can put a rhythm on CW and he put, like, Mary Had a Little Lamb. He put, like, nursery rhymes on it. So when he's sending it, you can also sing Mary Had a Little Lamb to the tune of the CW that he was sending out. And this was over in Korea. And they would know, because nursery rhymes were something that the Koreans or the Germans didn't know anything about, right? The American nursery rhymes, they didn't have a clue what that was. Much less did they know how to send CW with that rhythm. And that's how they could know if it was the enemy that was sending it to them versus Americans that were sending it to them. Pretty simple. An elegant solution to a complex problem. W4DJW.
Well, my dad was something similar. My dad did the field phone, so he had his own Jeep and a trailer, you know, with probably 5 miles of wire on it, and he would wire to the forward operations. He was the guy that was an FO and a forward observer, and he was attached to the artillery, so he called in all the artillery missions, and the reason he made it up to that point was because there was this colonel and a captain on top of a hill, and he strung the phones up there to them, and this captain called in the mission and just nearly dropped munitions in on our line, and the colonel looked at my dad and says, "Private, do you know how to call in that mission?" Dad says, "Yes, sir." Dad called in the mission, dropped it right on the money. He walked away a first sergeant. And that's how he got his field promotion. And it was something else. But anyhow, it was probably 6 months later, a Chinese mortar crew zeroed in on him and blew up his Jeep. And with him with it, he carried Chinese shrapnel until he passed.
I was very similar to what happened to my dad. He came back on a gurney with shrapnel in him. And he was at the VA hospital up in Virginia. And they had to split him in half, you know, from the center of his chest down the center of his belly to around his side and up his back. And then open him up and then pick shrapnel out of him. And he never really recovered completely from that. His health was never that good after that. He'd get into coughing fits and it'd be really hard for him to breathe. And that's why I think he didn't live beyond 74 years old. It took a toll on him. But his plane went down. He survived the airplane crash. He was the only survivor in the airplane crash. and walked out on foot. But on his way out, that's when he got blown up and came the rest of the way back on a gurney, and then spent a whole lot of time in the VA hospital up in Virginia. But glad he made it back. I wouldn't be here if he didn't.
Yeah, same story here. Dad spent a year in the Army military hospital in Indianapolis, Indiana. He spent a year up there with a colostomy bag. The shrapnel took out his left side, and they had to do some reconstruction, and he did okay after that. But he had PTSD, and there would be 3 or 4 years where he'd be just fine, and then one night, you know, you could hear him having nightmares and all that kind of stuff. And we'd have to wake him up and, you know, sit down and relax a while, and he'd go on back off to bed, and he'd be fine for another 3 or 4 years. But PTSD is real, and even back in those days, it was real.
Well, I wondered why he never did show any signs of that whatsoever to my sister and me. He never actually told either one of us about what happened to him. We saw pictures of him in the bed in the VA hospital with this triangle wedge that's up above his body, that while he was laying there in bed, he had to do exercise. He had to reach up with and grab that triangle. It had a wooden bar across it, and he had to do pull-ups in the bed in the hospital. We saw pictures of him. We actually went to the hospital one time and saw him there, but he didn't want us there. He sent us back home. But he did pull-ups to recover his strength after, you know, I don't know how many months he was in there. But he never told us what happened. After he passed away, that's when my mom recounted everything that went on, that there was never any sign of PTSD at all, at least that he exposed to my sister and me. Never any of those, you know, middle of the night wake up calls or anything like that. All he had is, if he got really excited and started working hard, he'd start coughing, and then it took him a long time to recover. W4DJW.
Well, we're proud of our dads, and I tell you what, we're real fortunate to have some good ones like that. There's plenty of them out there that are not so great. Well, listen, I've arrived back at the hacienda, and I'm going to go in here, and I've got my guys up today. We're building our plastic, so I'm going to get in here and do my thing. Get out and get some fresh air, even though it's kind of soggy today. Have some fun, Dave. I will talk to you soon. W4DJW, KN4VWA. I got to run, son. Clear?
All right, Steve. Have a good one. Good talking to you. Enjoyed the chat. KN4VWA, W4DJW. Clear and listening.
VJW, W4FHJ.
Good morning, Gene. How you doing? Haven't heard you on the radio in a while. How are things going?
All right, good. I appreciate it. I'm running all over the place today, doing errands and this, that, and the other. Working on getting a radio set up at American Legion. They called on me to set up a ham station there, so I've already got the operating position put in and built, desk and that type thing. And I've ordered VHF. Well, it's 2 meters, 220, and 440. And then a vertical antenna for all three of those bands. And I got them in, but I haven't set them up yet. But I was wondering one of these days if you could come by my place. Alice across the street from me. I'm trying to get up an antenna for her. I got an in-fed antenna, a brand new, and also a G5RV. I had a G5RV put up over there, but it finally came down. I'm putting up another one or the other, I'm not sure which. Just wondered, I know we talked about it some time back, but that was for my station, but I don't think I need anything now, but just for hers, if one of these days you could find a half hour or something to come over.
Yeah, no problem. Is this near where we hung that other antenna that one time before, or is it somewhere else?
It is Brookwood Forest, which is, do you by chance know where Master Tech is on Rutherford Road?
No, but Brookwood Forest sounds very familiar. I was going to look up where that is. Do you have an address?
Yeah, it's 5 Carriage Lane. Actually, that's my address, but Alice is smack across the street from me.
Is that a Taylor's address or a Greer address? I'm looking it up right now. I think I've been over there before.
Can't remember. I know Alice is jumping at the bits. She's on VHF and UHF okay, but she no longer on HF because she doesn't have an antenna. And she's chafing at the bits to get back on. She got a WAS award sometime back, and then right after that, the antenna broke down.
Okay, I'm looking around that area to see how it is that I get over there. Give me just a minute. W4DJW.
I'll hang loose. IQ Mobile. In 4IQ, I hadn't heard from you in a long time. How in the world you been, Bill?
You sound like you're doing fine, too. I'm just headed to go get my ears, Lord. It's that time of the year.
If I were actually seeing you, I'd say it's about time.
You wouldn't know the difference between me and my dog.
Okay, I imagine that. My goodness. Yeah, you might have overheard me telling David a minute ago, I'm running all over the place, doing errands and so forth. Right now, I'm on the way to Spartanburg.
Well, I'm not sure where you started out, but it's a rainy day to be driving around. That's for sure. I didn't hear your conversation. Dave was just in the process of leaving. I guess he was leaving when I got in the car. So nope. No, I didn't hear that conversation. And I'm headed towards Simpsonville from my house, and then I'm going to go to Malden. That's where I get my haircut. Be going over there. Oh my goodness, I bet you I've been going to this guy, let's see, 20, almost 40 years, over.
Yeah, I went to a church a couple of weeks ago over in actually Lyman, and this old fella said, I cut your hair years and years ago. And he did over when I was a Bob Jones student, right across the street there. There was a barbershop, Super Barbershop, as I remember. And he ran that at the time. I didn't remember him, but he knew me.
They go in the same place when they do a good job. Gosh, this guy was young man when I got started, you know. I was pretty young too, but he was younger than I am. He was probably about 10 years younger, 10, maybe 15. But I told him, how come you don't give me a discount? I said, so I had a lot more hair there. You didn't have to do as much. You don't have to do as much now. He says, yeah. I says, but you forget I never raised the price on you. So I said, okay.
You guess that took the wind out of your sails when you said that. You know, what more can I say? There you go. All kind of little techniques of trying to get a lower. Like when I go buy security equipment, I always ask for a senior discount, but they never give it to me. But I'm still, in fact, that's one of the things I'm doing today. I had ordered 6 radios. Well, that's cell radios for security reporting. And they're real hard to get. And they've been on order, I don't know how long, but mine came in, 6 of them. So I'm on the way over there to get them here after a while.
Tell you anymore, that everything's back ordered or you can't get it. It's just, that's just the way it is. I could go into a lot of that, but I'll just say this. Biden administration says it's just temporary, as well as the inflation. We know where that's coming from. But anyway, let's see. There was something I was going to mention. Oh, I didn't know you're still in the security business. Well, that's good. I guess it keeps you busy still, over.
So between that and hobbying, you know, ham radio and so forth, yeah, I stay busy, all right. Let me take a quick break and see if David's back.
W4DJW, I'm back, and I know why that address sounded familiar now, Gene. You're 2 houses down and 1 house across the street from where I got married the first time I got married. From Dan, there's a guy that used to live there called Dan Fowler. I married his daughter, was the first time. And then on down from there, there's a ham radio operator, Jim Whitted, that lived 4 houses away from you. Did you know that?
I'm waiting. Is he still there? There's another fellow that was a ham back in the 60s that I knew that lived in the same area, Jim Whitted. I can't quite remember. I've heard that name many times. I don't know, David.
So if you go out your driveway and you hang a left, you go down 1, 2, 3 houses, that's the end of the road, and you turn right, or you turn left on Charing Cross Road. His house is on the right. He used to have a tower, and he put a star up on top of that tower during Christmas holidays. I know you've had to have seen that star before, because every single Christmas it was up.
On mine. Okay. I don't remember that. I really don't. Probably should, but I don't remember. Okay, Bill, N4IQ is in here with us.
Yeah, hey, Bill. Sorry about that. I just got carried away when I knew that address he gave me sounded very familiar, and that's why. Jim had radio control helicopters, too, and that star was like 15 feet in diameter. It was huge. It lit up the neighborhood. Anyway, I'd go over. My parents were friends with Jim and Jan. She was a coach of a baseball team, and I was on her baseball team. And Jim was a ham radio operator. Him and my dad knew each other. They talked on the radio all the time. And then I met the girl 2 houses down from you and across the street and married her. But that one only lasted 15 years, and I got out of it. Anyway, yeah, Jim, I mean, Gene, I can come over there anytime. Whenever you're ready and it's not raining, just let me know. And I'll pass it over to Bill, W4DJW.
All right, Dave. Well, it's good hearing you. It's been a while. And I'm finally back in the car. I just don't do much driving. That's where I used to do almost all my repeater operating. So I'm just not on the repeaters very much. But both of y'all sound good. And Dave, sounds like you have a lot in common with Gene, at least in terms of neighbors and ex-wife. It's amazing. You talk to somebody, and pretty soon you find out there's something common between the two of you, even if you don't know them to begin with. So hopefully, I still don't know what y'all are talking about. It must be a package going to be delivered or something, or maybe going over to Gene's house to work on something. I don't know. But let's see. Well, that's good. Let's see. I just looked at the clock in here. In my expedition, I just put a new battery in. Keep looking at the clock. Says, well, I got plenty of time to get a haircut. I've got a 10:30 appointment. But then I realized I had the battery out for about 15 minutes. Because a lot, the clock is 15 minutes late. So I'm gonna have to reset that. Oh well, that's easy to do. I don't want to do it while I'm driving. Go ahead, Gene, N4IQ.
Okay, Bill. David and I were talking about putting up an antenna that had fallen down, a G5RV, for Alice, who lives smack across the street from me, K4KAE. And I put her whole system in several years ago, and she operated for a long time. She was mainly I can't think of that digital term. I can't think what it is. There's so many digital modes and so forth. I can't keep up with them. I never went that route. I started it and didn't go very far with it. So I'm just stuck with sideband and VHF operating and so forth. But anyway, he was going to come over and help us put that up. Incidentally, David, I've got one of those things that brand new. I bought it at Hamfest. When was it? It was, I can't remember what, Hamfest. Anyway, like 6-8 months ago, whatever that was. And one of those shooters, yeah, I know where it was Shelby. And one of those shooters, they shoot something like a tennis ball, but it's much heavier than a tennis ball. They said that it's for dogs to chew on or something. Anyway, I got that, so I never have tried it out, but David, we can try it. I got a compressor to put a little air in it. Go ahead, David.
Hey, that sounds good. I'll bring my Big Shot slingshot anyway, just to make sure, because it's guaranteed. It's going to put it right over. You can put the antenna, you can put the wire over the tree anywhere you want with a Big Shot slingshot. It's about a 6-foot tall slingshot, and it's got rubber bands that are about 3/4 inch in diameter. They're big, big, heavy, and a big old pouch underneath of it, and you shoot a hacky sack. 16 ounces to 8 ounce hacky sack, depending on the wind, and that pulls up a waxed wire. It's wax, so it goes through the trees really easy, and it's really lightweight. And you shoot that, and you get it to go right over the tree. And then if the wind is blowing an arc in the wire, then you just put a little resistance on the wire with your fingers, and it straightens the wire up so that it lays down on the branch that you want it to lay down on, instead of missing the tree altogether because the wind blew a big old arc in it. But those modes, I'm thinking you're either talking about PSK or RIDI, which was the original, and then PSK, and then JT65, and now FT8. One of those modes, anyway, that Alice was doing, probably RIDI. That was one of the first non-CW digital modes. Anyway, pass it over to Bill. Take it away, N4IQ, W4DJW in the group.
You're both fully equipped to put an antenna up, but I went over to Dave's. This is WN4AFP. I know Dave, you know him, and probably Gene, but took my air cannon over there. First try. I tell you, those things can be really accurate. Once you get used to them, you know how much pressure to use, and you have consistent weights. You can really be accurate and just have to go over the tree and come down at the bottom of the tree. But anyway, we did that that was Tuesday, I guess. That was fun. Always enjoy playing with that. And I've got a bunch of HF wire antennas in the backyard, and I use that thing all the time. Used to have a slingshot, but I retired it. It's now my backup. That air cannon just works great. On RIDI. RIDI's still popular on contests. It's a very, very popular contest mode. And now they've made FT8 in the contest. I'm sure, Dave, you all know all this. And those are two of my most popular contest modes in CW. Sideband's my least popular, but I do it. Well, I am not very far from getting my ears lowered here. It's coming up, so I'm going to go ahead and say 73. Good luck, you guys. Yeah, hope you aren't going to do that today. Boy, it's wet out here. I guess I'll turn it over to Gene. I guess that's who it goes to. Go ahead, Gene, in for IQ.
Bill, my goodness, good making comms with you again. Been a while, sure enough. Been a long, long time since I've talked with Phil, too. Hope he's doing well lately. Hadn't heard from him. But anyway, 73rds to you. Appreciate talking with you. That was FT8 I was trying to think of a while ago. Alice got her WAS award. And she made a blanket out of that thing. She somehow transferred the QSLs, all 50 of them, on a big old quilt. I don't know how you do things like that, but anyway, she's good at such things as that. Kind of like a woman, you know. There you go. She's my girlfriend, but she won't admit it. She said, "No, sirree, we ain't boy and girlfriends. We just neighbors, but we still go to restaurants about twice a week and together and that kind of stuff. But anyway, we're friends." So I gotta go to David. Sorry, I gotta run too. I'm almost at my destination. So anyway, listen, I'll holler at you sometime, but it won't be in the next day or so because I'm so tied up with this, putting this system in the American Legion. So, but anyway, I just want to touch base with you. And that method of putting the wire up is much better than mine, I'm sure. So I'll forget mine in the meantime. I'll play with it sometime later. So, David, I'll let you go. Appreciate everything. Okie doke, back to you.
Okay, let me break in here just a second.
Go ahead.
Okay, just real quick on Phil. You know, he's remarried, and he is living near Pageland, South Carolina. I don't know if you knew that or not, but he's remarried. So this is number two, and he seems to be really, really happy. And I used to talk to him two or three times a week, and we text. So that's his status. I'll go ahead and get out of here. Give it back to Dave. Go ahead, Dave.
Who is that that's remarried? Before you go.
Brother, Phil.
He's the one that had the Mustang, right?
Yeah, that's past tense. That's correct.
Okay, I know who you're talking about. And I didn't know he moved away. He's no longer living around here?
It's in Pageland. That's just below Monroe, North Carolina, right across the border.
Okay, so I guess no more field days down at the Lake Hartwell like you guys used to do, huh?
No, that's right. That's unfortunate. I used to really enjoy that. I had a RV trailer, and I followed that. My older brother used to go, passed away, and Phil's moved away, so no more field days there. Over.
Okay, well, appreciate the update. I didn't know what happened to him. I hadn't heard him for a long time. I did see him, though, at a Greer Ham Club meeting, so he's still going to Greer Club meetings. Are you still a member, and why don't I see you over there?
Not a member. He hasn't been to Greer in probably 4 years, 5 years maybe. Last time I went was if you saw anybody, it was probably me. I don't know. But I haven't been probably in 2 years over.
Okay, well, it was another Phil then that looked like him. Looked a lot like him. Anyway, miss seeing you guys over there. You need to start going to Queer Ham Club meeting again. That's a good club. Good club to be a member of. And it's coming up, you know, next Monday. the meeting. So if you don't have anything scheduled, love to see you there. I'm planning on being there. Anyway, I'll let you go. I know you got to go get a haircut. And 4IQ, W4DJWN. And Gene, I'll be waiting for your call. I work for myself now. I don't work for anybody else. And I can take breaks whenever I want. So let me know when you're ready, Gene, and we'll go. W4DJW, clear and listening.
It's probably Phil Gardner, as you heard. And I'm still a paid-up member of Greer, so I'll just let you know. 73, N4IQ, GRT.
I appreciate the update on Phil. I know where Pageland is. I've done security work up there in that town. 73rds. And David, I'll say 73rds to you too. You be good, and I'll be in touch a little bit later. Thanks. W4FHJ, clear.
J, WA4JRJ, WA4PXZ. RJ, WA4JRJ, WA4PXZ.
CLX Mobile, monitoring.
CLX, W1IMX Mobile.
W1MIX, N6, CLX.
Doc, Delta Oscar Charlie, headed for a dentist appointment in Sampsonville, and wonder where the sixth call is from.
Mike, Doc, sixth call is from Iowa. Just joking. Grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I got my call, went in high school, and I just never changed it.
Yeah, I know the feeling. I was WA6HAO for almost 40 years before I picked up this call. This is my dad's call from 34 to 53, and he had to give it up when we moved to California.
Yeah, so you were out in that area, too. Were you in the northern or southern part?
L.A. for... We moved out there in 53, and I was out there until about 61, when the military came back for a couple years and then left for good in 66.
You slipped in and slipped out of the military just in the right amount of time. Yeah, I grew up there on the peninsula, and slowly been moving east ever since high school. Went to school in Colorado, and I just keep moving east, but not too much further east. We've been here since 2007.
Yeah, I did slip my military time in there just right when I got out in 64. Everybody was sweating the draft, Vietnam, and all the rest of that good stuff. Unfortunately, I couldn't get into school because everybody was taking their 12 hours so they wouldn't get drafted.
Tell me about that. I remember that with my brothers. I'm the youngest. I had a brother that wanted to go into aviation. I had one brother that was pulled. His number was pulled for the draft, my oldest brother. But about a month after his number came up, they withdrew the troops completely. But I had one, my middle brother wanted to be going to aviation. Got his pilot's license in high school, and then there were no jobs because all the guys came back.
He ended up going to night school for a couple of years and got recruited for a civil service job and arrived in Saigon as a civilian the week I got my final discharge from the Army in the mail.
Definitely rough for you to go through those times and see what those poor guys were going through over there and then coming back to.
Probably spent most of my 2 years over there in Saigon, and then toward the end we were going up to Da Nang for 2 or 3 weeks at a time.
Ex-wife's cousin was married to a guy that he was a helicopter pilot for the Army. And he He was over in country, I don't know, a couple months, and then his mom started dying, so they shipped him back on that. But I think that's the only reason he was back.
I had looked into helicopter school before I got out in 63, and I said, well, you're so far along. He said, you could re-enlist for it. And I said, thank you, no. It's a good thing I did.
Uncle, he's a good guy. He's just kind of the crazy uncle. And now you'll know why we call him the crazy uncle, because he went through the entire time over in Vietnam as a door gunner.
No, like I said, I spent my whole time there at the embassy in Saigon, and my sister graduated from high school, so I left a week before the Tet Offensive, coming back to L.A.
Work late today, got family crisis in the rain. I didn't feel like going in, so I just texted the boss that I'll be in shortly. And then day before yesterday, I'm on the way to work, pulled off in Dunkin' to get some gas in my Jeep. And next thing I know, my world explodes. I had a hit and run with a deer.
That's going on right now. I've seen half a dozen beat up deer off the side of the road, and imagine what the cars looked like that they hit. But, yeah, we had a dental appointment today. We just moved down here from Northern Virginia, D.C. suburbs, and my dentist recommended somebody he went to dental school with here in Simpsonville, and that's about 50 miles. I've been on the road for the last hour.
Where do you live?
Yeah, Bill, out in the boondocks.
All the way over. They go through the big city of Anderson. 10-6 CLX Friday.
Yeah, W1IMX. Actually, we don't have to go through Anderson to get on 85 and go around it.
You're far south of 85 as you are, as Walhalla is north, I think.
We can get off at exit 11 and go south for 5 miles, or we can go down to exit 4 and come north for 3. We're almost on the state line.
Out of Spartanburg. Almost to work now.
Where the dentist is, I'm going to have to back out of here and start paying attention to the road. N6, and I'm sorry, I just lost it there. W1IMX.
What's N6CLX? Only phonetics I have, or the only word that came up for the phonetics was Clorox. You know, anything else was X-rated.
Calls like that.
You enjoy your dentist appointment as much as you can, and I'll hope to talk to you again soon. And 6CLX, I'll be clear on your final.
Good to chat. It made the drive a little easier to live with. And the only thing I got to talk to is my nav system, which I probably should have shut off. Anyway, have a good morning, and we'll catch you later. W1IMX Mobile Clear.
CJW, K1CJW, KO4NUE. W, KO4NUE. UE, no contact, I'm clear.
UE, K4OIM, good morning, Chad.
Hey, Walt, what's going on, bud? How you doing today?
Real frog strangler going on over here.
You're exactly right. And I tell you, it's really helpful and really nice to know exactly what a frog strangler is.
Hear that one.
Goodness. Well, listen, I'm going to tell you, it's so nice to be back home. I'm over here in Pickens, fixing to drop by and visit with Roland for a little bit. But, listen, I need to drop by your place maybe tomorrow. Got a couple of things for you. I picked up in Normandy and kind of want to drop them off, but I don't think I'm going to be able to do that today. But I'll get with you on the landline and figure out when the best time to do that. Is that all right?